There are some people who say we cannot tell, whether we are saved or whether all is well. Care who tells me salvation is not real, though the world may argue that we cannot fail, and even though Satan tries to tell me no, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know Jesus saved me,
saved my soul.
Every moment he forgave me.
He can't make me doubt it. There's no way to doubt it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I was there when it happened 64 years ago this month. I came to know Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. He made himself real to me. He came and found me. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. You see, you cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit calls you, unless the Holy Spirit deals with you. If you just think you can wait till you get ready, maybe right before you die, and I'll just give my life to the Lord, then let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you, converts you, transforms you, makes a new creature out of you, and then sanctifies you, and then fills you with the sweet Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Everything about your salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit because of Calvary, because of the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. Well, what a broadcast. We're going to have a great one. Listen, our subject, delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered from the wrath to come. Now, that is one great subject. I love it. Delivered from the wrath to come. I tell you what, I'm glad to know that I am being delivered, hallelujah, every day from the wrath to come. But when that great tribulation gets here, now we're going to talk today about tribulation. We're going to try to understand tribulation as a regular experience of a Christian. Tribulation that's gone on for 6,000 years, ever since the devil was thrown out of heaven. We're going to talk about tribulation because we are new creatures and we've met Christ. But then we're going to talk about tribulation as it has to do with the wrath of God and the final judgment of God. And many people don't understand these distinctions. If you understand these distinctions, it will change every bit of your understanding. Now, we live in a day when the pre-trib rapture is under attack from hell. If the devil ever hated anything, he hates, of course, everything about Jesus, everything about the blood, everything about being a Christian. But he hates the idea of what we call the great hope of the church. We call it the blessed hope. the blessed hope. That's when Jesus comes to get the saints of God. That's when there is a rapture and he comes in the midair and we're caught up in the midair to meet him. The saints rise from the grave, from the dead, and the living saints are changed and transformed, and together we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now this is hated. And I'm on a dedicated burden to proclaim the great hope of the rapture, pre-trib rapture, for the next weeks. I just got a call to preach out in Oklahoma for 3 nights on the rapture, specifically on the pre-trib rapture, one of our churches. Well, you see, preachers aren't preaching this because they live beneath the area and the level of this kind of inspiration. They live beneath the level of understanding the deep truths of the Holy Bible. You know, do you know why we don't sing Heaven's Jubilee and When the Trump of God Shall Sound? You know why we don't sing those old churches, Oh, I Want to See Him? Why we don't sing those old songs in most of the new flame churches is because they don't believe it. They don't believe that the rapture is about to take place and we saints are going to be gone. I want to tell you something. 7 years from today, we could be coming back with Jesus to fight the battle of Armageddon and to set up a reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And that could be as close as 7 years from today. All's got to happen is the rapture. The trumpet's got to sound. He's going to resurrect the dead. He's going to come down into the midair and rapture the saints. We're going back to heaven. We're going to have a 7-year celebration called the marriage supper. At the same time, the great tribulation is going on down here on the earth, and we'll be in heaven. But when the 7 years are over, we will have crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will descend back from heaven, hallelujah, to reign with him 1,000 years. Now, the subject today, though, is delivered from the wrath to come. I want you to get that. I wish you'd repeat those words with me. Delivered from the wrath to come. Say those words out loud. Everybody in your house or your wherever you at can hear them. Delivered from the wrath to come. Now, let me take you in your Bible, okay? Will you turn to the book of Isaiah, Brother Chambers? Now, you can't find these great truths in that Old Testament. Well, you may think you can't, but I'm going to help you learn that you can, okay? Isaiah, great statesman prophet, and you see, the great judgment that's coming was talked much about in the Old Testament, and the early church knew from the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles that they were going to escape that great wrath. They knew all about that great wrath. Their prophets had talked about it. Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, over and over. I mean, those great prophets, they had really talked about the coming judgment. And they knew this judgment was coming. But they knew Jesus was going to come get them, and they was going to escape that judgment. Okay? They knew that. Now, don't turn your computer off because the picture keeps flashing. We don't know what's wrong, but we've got the best minds I can imagine working on it. And they can't figure it out. And it may just be the old devil that hates the rapture. I mean, he hates it with a vengeance. So give a little praying, okay? For God to give us the right source that will discover that and get it solved. But let's go to Isaiah. You got your Bible open, Isaiah 26. I want us to hear this old statesman prophet, okay? Listen to him. Thy dead men shall live. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, Isaiah knew he was going to die, but he knew that there'd be a resurrection. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake, he said, and sing. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth is going to cast out the dead. When that rapture takes place, brother, I'm telling you, that's exactly what he's talking about. The earth is going to cast out their dead. The dead's going to raise right up out of the earth. Now listen what he says next. Come, my people. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, a little moment. A little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Now, how can you say it better than that? Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, talking about the rapture and the resurrection. And he says, then come, my people, that's the Lord's people, hide thyself, as it were, in thy chambers. That's the prepared place the Lord has for us to be hid away during the judgment of Christ on this earth, just like the ark was to Noah and his crowd. Just like it was with Lot when God took him out of the city of Sodom and said, I can do nothing until you're out of here. I want you to know that Antichrist can do nothing beyond God's allowance until we are out of here. I mean, he can do nothing. He cannot stop the church. He cannot stop my preaching. He can mess everything with I'm doing, but I'll just keep on preaching and telling you the truth. Listen now, I want to read that again. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber. Now, you know a chamber is a hiding place. And he said, and shut the door. Shut the door and hide thyself. I love that. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, 7 years. Woo! 7 years for a little moment until the indignation, that's God's judgment, God's wrath be overpassed. Now, that is one of the clearest scriptures about the coming of Christ, about the glorious resurrection. The earth shall cast out their dead. You know what that is. You can't misinterpret that. I mean, you don't even need a lot of brain to understand that. It really is clear as it can be. Then to understand, come, my people, hide thyself. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Now listen, he doesn't even stop there. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. He comes to punish them for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now you can hear me even if that light, if that video flickers, okay? Because I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming and he's going to hide us for a moment until that indignation be upon this earth and God's wrath judges the wicked. Now, here's what I want you to grasp. I want you to understand, we are all having tribulation. Tribulations all over our world. Christians are being killed. All kinds of things are happening. I mean, it is breathtaking. Just this morning, I read a little story about in Fort Worth, Texas, where a guard caught two people talking about God in the Bible in a big shopping center, and he said to them, you can't talk about that in here. They said, we're talking to one another. We're not preaching to nobody. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. And they had to withstand it. They had to say to that guard, you're not going to put us out of Fort Worth Mall because we're talking about Jesus. I got some friends out there, some of our big church family out there, and I know they probably have already heard this, but that was on the internet just this morning. And I thought, what in the world? That people hate the name of Jesus. They hate the name of Jesus. They hate the idea of the blood of the cross by which we are redeemed from our sins and from the wrath that's coming upon the wicked. They hate it. But I want to tell you, we got to understand there's a lot of judgment going on, a lot of tribulation going on. But this great tribulation is a whole different matter. It is God coming out of his place to judge the wicked of the earth. Now, why would anybody think that his Christians, his people, ought to be here when he's judging the wicked? That doesn't make any sense. Well, let's go a little further. Let's read some more. The Bible's full of it. The Bible's full of it. You know, I've heard the Holy Ghost speak by tongues and interpretation many times in my 64 years, and I've never heard the Holy Ghost say, get ready for the Antichrist. He always says, get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Always says, get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't believe in tongues and interpretation. Well, you always can depend on this. If there's a real message from the Holy Spirit, it's in perfect harmony with this Bible. Now, I'm not talking about some Johnny come lately. I'm not talking about, you know, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And that's a lot of that in Pentecostal circles. I'm a Pentecostal. I've been one 64 years. But we've got more trash among us, just like every other entity out there has trash among them. We've got our share. I see so many people that go to some loud, noisy church, and they get in there and they get noisy without getting saved, and they get religion, and they think they're religious, and because they've already learned to yip and yell, without getting born again. Let me tell you what we need. We need people to get saved by the blood until they are a new creature, until they've been made brand new in the blood of Jesus. And there will be tribulation, but I promise you it won't be the great tribulation. Now let's read some more. This is Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 27. It says, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire, and his breath is as an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to error." Now, we're so close to that judgment, it's overwhelming, but that's God's judgment of the wicked. It's not God judging the righteous. In fact, he goes on to say something breathtaking. "Ye," this is God's people, "shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the glory, to the mighty one of Israel." You hear me? You hear me? This judgment that's coming is not God judging everybody, including the righteous. It is God judging the wicked. The indignation of God against the wicked. And the early church was so careful to help their people understand this, and to be careful not to think that they were going to come under this great judgment that was coming. Let me read you what Paul said to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." He was telling these Thessalonians how you turned to God out of your wicked background, out of your wicked sins, and you came to know Christ and to serve the Lord Savior. Hallelujah. But listen to what he continues. "And to wait for the Son from heaven." And to wait from the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, now listen, "which delivered us from his wrath to come." Which delivered us from his wrath to come. Now, you put yourself in the condition of those Jewish believers who were, they had heard all of these great warnings of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Zechariah and the prophets of God. And they knew judgment was coming. They knew God was going to judge a wicked world. They knew it was coming. They knew it was coming. And so Paul and the other writers in the New Testament had to warn them, but he's going to deliver you from the wrath to come. He said it clearly. "Which delivered us from the wrath to come." Which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, that is one of the New Testament themes, is that the saints would understand that the great wrath of... See, the New Testament saints were almost all Jews. It was Paul, Peter, of course, Cornelius' household got saved. They were Gentiles. And then Paul and Barnabas began to win Gentiles all over the Cilicia world. And it became a great revival thing. And these people who knew what the prophets had said and new judgment was coming, they had to be warned that they didn't have to worry about this, that they were delivered from the wrath to come. Do you understand now? Do you really understand what I'm saying? Yes, you're going to have great tribulation. It could get so bad until you will think you're in the great tribulation. But you can't be in the great tribulation, because that's not for the Christian. That's not for the righteous people. That's not for the godly people. That's for the wicked world. The wicked, ungodly, horrible pit of hellish living that people all around us, the people that hate everything spiritual, they hate everything godly, they hate everything holy. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. We will be. If you are saved and you're looking for the Lord to come, you will be delivered from the wrath to come. You will be delivered from the wrath to come. Now, I think I've introduced this to you, and I've got so much to talk about. I got a list of things that you can know is going to happen during that 7-year tribulation period, and that will help you understand that the saints of God are not going to be here. I'm on a theme. I'm on a devoted a dedication for the next weeks to prove to this church world that the pre-tribulation rapture is biblical to the core. It is biblical to the core. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm going to help you understand it if you'll let me. Now grab your phones. Grab your telephone. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then, of course, you can call the regular number if you're in this area, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Toll free anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want to give you today a copy of this article that I have that will go on the internet, Delivered from the Wrath to Come. The Holy Ghost really moved me to write this. I mean, it was written by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. I really believe that with all of my heart, right out of this Bible. And it will really help you. And I want every one of you to have it. Every one of you to have it. And all you got to do is pick up your phone and dial one of those numbers. Okay, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. You got that? And then toll free, 1-800-338-7884. Let's take a call here. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I was reading in Revelation 6 this morning, and, you know, after the sixth seal, I believe it was,
yes,
so it said that men go and hide themselves and declare, you know, that the great day of wrath has come upon us.
Yes.
Is there some division there between the fifth and the sixth seal with regard to some specific either change in the intensity of the wrath? In other words, is this the wrath of God begin at the beginning of the quote wrath?
Well, you have the first seal, which is chapter 6, verse 1. That's seal 1. Then in two verses, you got seal 2. Then you got seal 3. Then you got seal 4. Then you got 5. And then you've got 6. Now, there's continuation. There's a 7, and there's 7 trumpets, and then 7th trumpet, the 7 vials. And so this goes on continuing through the 7 years. The judgment begins at the very beginning of these 7 years. Now, there, it used to be taught, and I don't hear many people saying that no more, because it's so proved by the Bible to be untrue, that there'd be 3.5 years that would be peaceable years, when everything would just be rosy-dozy, you know, and good, and this would be the time the Jewish people would have this a signed treaty with the Antichrist, not knowing it's the Antichrist. Well, they will probably have that treaty, but those first 3 years is going to be hell on earth. As soon as that rapture takes place, things are going to change in a manner and a way that are breathtaking. You notice in the fifth seal, there's a multitude that have been slain by the Antichrist. And they're crying for the Lord to judge the Antichrist because their death was so vicious and so horrible. And so you get to seal 6, and then you see the whole world is actually seeing the throne of God. See, the throne of God is going to be moved from the heavenly realm into the atmosphere above us. And so this earth will be able to look up and see the throne of God. And that's what you see happening in the sixth seal, is you see the wicked of the earth coming under this great wrath. And I don't know of anything to change. It's just a progression. It goes from one seal to the next, to the seventh, and then 7 trumpets, and then 7 vials. And the 7 vials are just the most intent, because that's when the Antichrist kingdom really gets its reward for its wickedness.
Is there any possibility that there is some unspecified time between the removal of the church and the actual beginning of the opening of the seal, where perhaps there is some sort of peaceful time? Like, you know, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about, you know, safety and security, and then suddenly, you know, wrath will come up.
Well, see, I think we're now living in the safety and security. That's all they talk about anymore. You know, is they're trying to figure out some way to create this safety and security, and the Antichrist will make some big promises. And I think there is a possibility of an unspecified time between the actual rapture and the opening of the first seal. You've got this scene in heaven where Jesus actually takes the seven seal book, and that is the whole picture of the tribulation period in that seven seal book that Jesus takes from the Father. And that's chapter 5. And then chapter 6, he begins to open those seals. Maybe there's a little time. Some people think there may be as much as 3.5 years or 7 years. I don't see that. I just think within days, within at most days after the rapture, all hell breaks loose.
Well, it sort of makes sense. You know, 2 Thessalonians talks about, you know, that the restrainer will be removed.
Absolutely. There'll be no restraint. For the first time in human history, the devil will have a period of time that he is unrestrained, except the fact he can't leave the earth. And he can only do things on the earth, and he can only do things to the Pacific people he's dealing with. But in a way, he will have unprecedented liberty to make known all of his wicked ways. And when he gets through, even the wicked will hate him.
One final comment. I won't hold you up, but I was thinking about this as I was driving, and I sort of related that the things of today are sort of like the passengers on the Titanic. You know, it was dark all around. They felt they were in the safest boat that's ever been built, unsinkable, and then just out
suddenly,
of there, within a split second, it's down.
It's all changed. You know, what is about to happen? And you know, I'm going to tell you, when I think of this, tears begin to come, and my heart begins to just melt inside of me. And I hurt when I think of what's going to happen immediately after that rapture. I think of my grandchildren. My grandchildren, whom I love with a passion. And they're not ready. And I can't seem to shake them. I do not understand it. I told someone the other day, we raised you to serve God. We raised you to live this life of Christ. But this world and the whole system is so deceptive and so full of evil. And they go off to these universities and these schools, and these professors are full of the devil. And it's just amazing. The world has never been so enticing to people as it is right now. And it's fixing to change. Hallelujah. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye.
Is it Jeremiah where Hananiah, you know, of course, tells him a lie, you know, that, you know, in 2 years the yoke of Babylon will be broken, and the people, you know, say, don't prophesy to us, you know.
Yeah, well, tell us sweet things.
Good things. I think people are.
That's what preachers are doing. Preachers are preaching. It isn't so much what's wrong with what preachers are preaching. What's wrong is what they're not preaching. I mean, they just preach, you know, soft things, good things. I mean, it's pure sickening what preachers are preaching today. God bless you, sir. Give us a call. You are welcome out there. Anywhere you are, we want to hear from you. I promise you, we will do our best to bless you. We'll do our best to help you understand this great truth of the Bible. Please don't put it off. Please grab your phone. Let me see here if I can get to the internet, or at least I should say forgive me here, to the emails and see if I have any. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from anywhere you are. Please find attached. Oh, yeah, that's just something they're sending me. Hey, I want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and then jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I like a call like I just had that really is into this Bible and just digging in. And we all are learning, because I don't know everything. I just know I love this Bible. It's the pure word of God. I believe every word of it. I believe every word of it. And I want you to learn all the great truths of it. And I want you to be right in the middle of what we're doing. So call quickly. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. And then remember, email jrc@paulcreek.org. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. Would you explain Revelation 3:10?
Oh, yeah. Would I? I love that verse. There's no greater verse in the Bible. Revelation 3:10. Listen, everybody. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You've obeyed me. You've kept my patience. You've been faithful in your tribulation. You've been faithful in your hard places. You've kept the word of my patience. Listen, I also, he promised, will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now that is a promise to the church that if you are obedient to keep the patience of the Lord, he will keep you from, not in, from, I said not in, from the hour of temptation. Brother, that's one of the greatest promises in the Bible, that we will not be here to go through the tribulation.
That is wonderful. I tell you what.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, because there's a lot of people who think, you know, that we'll go through the tribulation. But
well, they just don't know the Bible. And preachers are not living and preaching what they ought to live and preach. I am so bothered by preachers who are preaching the mid-trib and the post-trib and post-millennial and amillennial, which means no tribulation, no millennial. I am amazed at all of that. I am really amazed. I don't understand it. So thank you for calling me.
Thank you.
You sound like you're about happy.
I am. I'm loving listening to you because you're telling it like it is.
That's all I know. See, I've studied the Bible to the nth degree, still digging, and I don't teach nothing but what's plain. And when you read Revelation 3:10, how in the world could you doubt that we're going to be gone before that tribulation?
That's right. It's just like mathematics. You can't fool mathematics and can't fool the Word of God neither.
You're wonderful. Bless your sweetheart, okay? I'll grab somebody else. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Chambers, I love how you started out the program today with reading Isaiah chapter 26. And the verse that I usually like to start out with, which is a great confirmation of Revelation chapter 12, is Isaiah 26, verse starting at verse 17, with, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain. I mean, this is an awesome direct correlation. I don't know if you agree with this or not, that with Revelation chapter 12, how we are that man-child, right?
Now, I believe the church is indeed the man-child.
Absolutely, and I just
I don't understand why everybody don't think that.
I know. It's usually they say it's Jesus Christ, but everything at that point is in the hereafter, so that's impossible.
Everything from Revelation 4 to 22 is hereafter, after the church age, after the church dispensation, everything. And to try to bring Jesus in to Revelation 12 and make him the man-child is completely horrible theology.
It really is. And, you know, I was struggling with that for a little while. I read your book, The Masterpiece, which really helped open my eyes to the correct interpretation there. And really, the Bible defines itself. And then, then the Lord actually led me to actually read the book of Isaiah. And when it came upon chapter 26 and how it's really, it's a confirmation right there, verses 17 and 18, how we are like that child, that's a woman. But also, besides that, though, I do have a question because, like you have been saying, there's this there's a mid-trib, there's a post-trib doctrine out there which are completely so far from the truth. It's almost not even worth addressing. However, there's the when you look at Revelation chapter 6 and the sixth seal, they say that is, you know, when the king of the earth, the rich and the poor, you know, so on and so forth, when they start to, you know, hide themselves in the dens and the rocks and the caves, saying for that great wrath is come, they're saying, well, that's present tense, it is come. So the first five seals were not his wrath, which I completely disagree with, because it's Christ himself that is the worthy lamb to open the seals to start. But I see in Revelation, though, that is it's the, you know, for the ones who were slaughtered by the Antichrist, John says he sees the souls of them which were,
beheaded
in Revelation chapter 7. But
and they came up out of the great tribulation. See, now let's don't carry this any further. I don't want to get anybody confused, but you can see very clearly in chapter 6 when the wrath is just horrible. But the first seal is the going forth of that white horse and then a black horse. And you can't see that as not being a horrible time of judgment. I mean, really, it is. And then you get to chapter 7, you got all these people who've gotten saved after the rapture took place. They missed the rapture, but they fell on their faces. I want to tell you, there will be more people on their face the day after the rapture than there's ever been at a given time in human history. Because just like my grandchildren and many of my friends and many people I know who used to be right with God and used to live on fire, and now they just play games with God. You know, all of these people, when they realize they missed the rapture, some of them can't even be saved if they really denied the truth, but many of them can be. And my friend, I love you for just digging. Keep digging, will you?
Absolutely. And one more thing, too, is that the first resurrection, I see it takes place in chapter 20 when it says he sees those who are beheaded, the souls of them. But we also see the same picture kind of in Revelation chapter 7. So when is the first resurrection?
The first resurrection is the series of resurrections. It is Jesus being resurrected. It's the bride in chapter 4. It's the tribulation saints in chapter 7. It's the two witnesses, I believe it's chapter 10. Then it's the remnant of the Jews. I mean, it's just an ongoing process, so that in Revelation chapter 20 is when we see the finality of the first resurrection. Jesus said he was the first fruits of the resurrection. So you don't eliminate him from this. You certainly don't eliminate the church from this. So it's a series, 7 of them, of people being raised and people being transformed and people being caught up, and all of these 7 series come to a fullness in that chapter you just mentioned, when he says, blessed are they that had part in the first resurrection.
Yes, amen to that. Completely agree. This is I think that's one thing a lot of people stumble upon, is they see the first resurrection, so the rapture can't happen until afterwards. But as far as I know, is that I'm going to be gone here any day, and very soon we're going to see the King.
Boy, are they. God bless you, friend. I love you, and thank you for calling. Hey, these are wonderful calls. You know, I delivered from the wrath to come. That's a biblical term. Don't you like it? And because it's biblical, delivered from the wrath to come. And the brother who just had me read a Revelation 3 and 10. And then, of course, there's just so many of these verses. Let me take you to another. The lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Now, get both of those numbers. You can use either one. If you're in the local area, anywhere within probably 50 miles of here, dial 704-391-0588. If you're in Canada or off somewhere else in California, dial 1-800-338-7884. If you're in Australia or somewhere in the other parts of the world, better to send an email. And my email is totally nobody here. Where are you at, my emailers? Send your email. I'm sorry. Forgive me there. Send your email, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, while you are calling or while you are emailing, let me take you to the book, the last book of the Old Testament. And I love this one. It's Malachi. Malachi, what a giant old Malachi was. I don't know if you know how much of a giant he was, but let me read you something he said. Listen, this is Malachi 3:16. Get your Bible. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Oh, what a verse of consecration, devotion to the Lord, and a book of remembrance. I want my name in that book of remembrance, because I've always said that's the Bride of Christ roll call. The Bride of Christ roll call, that book of remembrance. But verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now notice, and I will spare them. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Did you hear that? these are mine that I will when I make up my jewels, he said, and I will spare them. But don't stop. Go to the next verse. And they shall then shall ye return. What? Then shall ye return. What do you mean, Lord? What are you saying to Malachi? Well, we'll be raptured before the tribulation, and then during the 7 years, we'll be spared, and then we return. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now, you can't read that. How in the world can we return if we've never been? How can we come back if we've never gone anywhere? How can we come back? Then shall ye return? He's going to spare us. He's going to spare us from the tribulation, and then we're coming back. Well, that's what the book of Revelation teaches, that the saints go up in chapter 4, and they come back at the great battle of Armageddon. They're behind Jesus riding on white horses. Whoa, what a picture. What a picture. I believe I had a call here. Let me try to remember. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Trailblazer, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Wonderful, that's good. I was having a conversation with some coworkers.
Yes.
And I was trying to get them to believe that Jesus is God. And I read through them from John, you know, in the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Go ahead.
And I read from Revelation 2, where he said, I once was dead, but now I'm alive again.
Yes.
I still can't find a way to convince them that God is omnipresent, that he can do anything he wants, that he can be 10 people if he wants to.
So, well, why did they not believe in Jesus?
Well, they say they only think Jesus is God's son, and it's two different beings. And I told them that the Trinity, I mean the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Son are one.
Yes, you're right. Now, I believe in the Trinity, but I believe in the Trinity of three persons who are in perfect harmony and perfect unity. You cannot separate them, God and Jesus and the Spirit. They are together as one. They are three distinct persons, but also united in such a unity that they are one.
And Trouble, I got another question. We also debate about, like, why is our country, when the Muslims are getting beheaded, they want to bring them in the U.S., but when it happens to the Christians, nothing happens. They didn't say anything about that.
Say that again. I didn't get that. Say it a little bit slower.
I'm sorry. You remember back when all the Christians were getting beheaded on TV?
Yes.
And network, and President Obama never said anything about bringing them to the U.S.
Obama is a Muslim, sir. Don't you understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If there's ever been a man who is a Muslim at heart, that man, he doesn't have bat sense, if I might say it real plain. Like, I don't even know how to talk about him. He is so pitiful.
Yeah, I know, because it hurts. I mean, just
we ought to hurt for him, because hell's going to be a hot place for a man that's done the damage he's done. He loves homosexuality and lesbianism, and you know, our governor right now is under fire from all these homosexuals across America and their liberal friends, and some churches in Charlotte, I'm told, are really gung-ho against the governor, because the governor signed that bill that eliminates transvestites from using the bathrooms of opposite sex people. I mean, that is the most asinine. How can you be more wicked and more evil? And churches that are for that stuff, those people, I mean, hell's going to be a hot place for them. I'm here to tell you.
Yes, sir. I got one more thing to say. I'll let you go. You're right. I live here in Charlotte, too, and they're talking about they're threatening with the NFL, the NBA All-Star game, taking it all that away. I say let them do it.
I hope they take it if that's what they want. I tell you what, they just run in their mouth. They won't do a thing. They want the money, that's all. And they will use any kind of pressure they can use. These are evil people that have an evil heart. They have an evil capacity. They think evil. They don't even think right. They don't even think holy things. They don't understand them, because they just are wicked people. And they deserve our deepest prayers, because, I mean, all of that's going to be judged. And the fire of judgment is going to burn it to a cinder.
And you know what's next? They're going to want to, I should be able to marry a 13-year-old girl, a 12-year-old girl, or my dog, or my cat. That's next. But thank you so much for hearing me. I just had to vent to somebody.
God bless you, sir. Walk with Jesus and be very gentle and very tender and pray for the wicked every day. All right? God bless you. Call us quickly. Hey, we got plenty of time. and we are really on the right subject. Delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered from the wrath to come. We're going to be delivered from this wrath. You understand? Now, I want to tell you, you need to pray that we find what's causing the problem with our telecasting. We don't know. I've talked to the best brains out there, and they don't know what to say. They can't figure it out. They say it's. Some people think it's just the work of the evil one, the devil. Well, I think there's something a little more. I think it is evil, but I think there's more than that, and the Lord will solve it. I'm telling you. And it's good to have these tribulations. These tribulations. Hallelujah. I don't mind them. I'm going to stand tall and true and nice and kind. I'm going to pray for wicked people because I want to see them saved. Now, you need to call and get this booklet. You really do. Now, I'm giving it to you because I love you. I love you. Listen, delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered from, you got to get it in your mind. You got to understand that the tribulation that all of us are going through is not anything to compare with the great tribulation. Because the great tribulation is the great wrath of God. 7 years. Everything in the Bible that is of a full spectrum has to be seven. That's why the tribulation has to be 7 years. You can't reduce it to 3.5 years. I mean, you would completely defy the Bible. 7 days is how it started. 7,000 years. The seventh is coming as the great millennial reign. There's not a place on earth that doesn't recognize 7 days in a week. I mean, really, we have got so much to believe and to know that God is on target. Amen. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Joe, I heard about the thing about with Pat McCoy. I would say this here, too. The NAACP, they are trying to boycott North Carolina. And if you're part of that, you're guilty of the least, you're guilty of the whole. So they against God, too. So throw that out there. It's time for Christian people to stand up and tell it like it is.
All we've got to do, all we Christians and Bible believers and honest people and good Americans, there's a lot of good Americans that are not Christians. They don't know the Lord, but they're decent Americans. If all of us will say, all right, you try to boycott us, we're going to boycott you. That's what the governor ought to do. He ought to take the names of every one of those companies and send them all over North Carolina and say, North Carolina is going to boycott these companies until they take back what they are threatening us with.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right, brother.
I'm telling you, that would solve the problem in a hurry.
Yes, sir. They don't want it. The NBA don't want to be here. Let them go somewhere else.
Well, that's how I feel too, sir. And I pray the governor's got the guts to stand up. You know, that's the good thing about Donald Trump. He has made some mistakes. I don't agree with everything he's done and everything he says. But I'm on his side because he's got the courage to tell him like it is. The liberal media hates him. The liberal politicians hate him. And if I was going to call a policeman to come and save me because somebody was trying to beat down my front door, I wouldn't say to him, are you sure you're gentle? Are you sure you're going to be real kind in your words? Are you a real Christian? I would say to the policeman, come! You know, and I'd let him decide what he was. And that's what we need. We need a policeman in America. And he may have some rough sides, but pray for him and believe God to give us the right person as our next president.
Israel. He loves Israel. He loves Israel.
That's right. That's enough right there for me. Yes. He's going to move Americans' embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem where it ought to be. Even George W. Bush II wouldn't do that. All right, God bless you, sir. I love you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm so good. It's unreal. I'm jumping up and down. Can't you see me?
That's good. I do listen to the program.
Hallelujah.
I called you last week, and we were talking about you hanging on the cross. But the day you were talking about why people don't like Jesus, why they don't love Jesus.
Well, that's the spirit of the world today. They hate the name of Jesus, and they're fighting that name with all they got, but we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. That's the real subject today.
Yeah, and you know why they don't love Jesus. They don't love the teaching of Jesus.
That's right. They don't love Jesus because they don't love his teaching. Take up your cross and follow me daily.
They don't love that. See, they don't want to be obedient. They're not ready to be obedient and obey. People don't want to obey one another, much less to obey God.
Well, you couldn't say it better, brother. Thank you for calling.
You have a good day.
I have. God bless you, and you have a good day. Now, grab your phone out there, every one of you. I don't want to waste a minute. I want to answer your question. I really want to get to the heart of this. Why we will be delivered from the wrath to come. Let me tell you about the great tribulation. When you understand the great seven-year tribulation, when you understand it, you will know that the saints can't be here. It is just not even sensible. Number one, the time of God's wrath against the wicked. Those 7 years, and any fullness of any event in the Bible has got to be 7 years. You understand that? So this is 7 years, and that's been made plain in the scripture many places. So it's the time of God's wrath against the wicked. All right, you got that? It is similar to the great flood. It is similar to the great flood when God had Noah and his family in the ark. It is similar to the great flood. It is similar to the judgment of Sodom when God said to Lot, we can do nothing until you're out of here. Similar. It has no purpose for the church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in Revelation from chapters 4 to chapters 22 that is really for the church except the scenes where you see them as elders in heaven. Nothing. It's not for the church. The Great Tribulation is the final judgment. Now listen to this. The Great Tribulation is the final judgment of Israel. Israel has been through nearly 2,000 years because they participated in crucifying Jesus. And the final moment of Israel's judgment, called Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament. Jacob's trouble is what it's called. So the final 7 years is Israel's final judgment, so that they come to repentance at the end of the 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, all Israel is saved in one day. Every last one of them, they're still alive. And because the 7 years is their final judgment, it's called Jacob's trouble. Now that is wonderful. I've never heard anybody teach that. And that hit me today from the Holy Spirit. The devil is the ultimate purpose of the Great Tribulation. God puts the devil on display so the world can see what a wretched, what a miserable, what a horrible creature he is. And the 7 years is his display when he will be seen for what he is and judged and put in the bottomless pit and then put in the lake of fire. The false trinity must be put to the acts of God's judgment. And that's what the 7 years is. I got one more here. The final cleansing so Jesus Christ can reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The final cleansing so Jesus can reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, when you understand those things about the tribulation period, let's see how many I had. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. I always wind up with 7 because that's the complete. So, when you understand the tribulation in that light, it's not for the church. It never was for the church. The tribulation period, the great tribulation I'm talking about, is for the world and the wicked and the ungodly and the devil and the Antichrist. And to clean up this mess so we can come back and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Is that not plain? Am I making this as real as I know how to make it? I pray you're hearing it. I pray you're grasping it. I really do. I want it to become part of your mind and your thoughts and your very being. Now grab your phone. I still got time for some calls. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Come on now, call. Let's don't waste a minute. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Here's one, Brother Chambers. I do not have any spirit-filled church that preach pure truth where I live. You are my online church. Would you pray for me that Christ might baptize me with the fire of the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Travis. Now, Travis, I declare right now that you're part of the Paul Creek Church. I want you to call us and give us your name and address so we can send you the videos every Sunday of both of our services and Wednesday night. We'll send them to you, anybody out there. You don't have a church that really preaches the truth. You call us and we'll be your online church. Now, I'm praying that we can get things hooked up where we can telecast our morning worship. That's going to take a little bit and a little money, and we're trying to get this place paid for. I made payment 21 this week. I've got 20 left. $3,800 for this $3.5 million campus that we have. It is beautiful campus. Not like, you know, some $20 million outfit, but $3.5 million is a lot of money. And it's a beautiful place, a great school, a great mission activity. We have churches around. I preached this week in one of our churches down in Warrior, Alabama. Hey, there on Friday night there was a tornado in Warrior, but it never did touch down to the ground. It was up in the air. The alarms went off, you know. It was something else. Lights went out. My wife and I got soaking wet getting out of the house where we was eating a little bit. I'd already preached. We had a great altar called. We had an altar full of people really praying, seeking God. It was just outstanding. It was great. I really loved preaching too. You know, I love preaching. I'm a preacher at heart. I'm a preacher at heart, and I love it. I love it. And I want to tell you, we it was great. But if you want to be part of our church, you just let us know. We're not trying to get people out of good churches. If you got a Bible believing church that really is full of the Holy Ghost and they preach the pre-trib rapture, pay your tithes, be a good member, and be a faithful part of that church. If you don't have that, then you find you somebody. And we are ready. We already have people all everywhere, even Australia that make us their church. So we'll be your church, Travis, but we want to be everybody's out there. So call and give you our ladies your address, and we will not forget you. We will send to you and let us know. Now those 20 more payments, $3,800. Boy, if I had 20 people, would make one of them each. Wouldn't that be something? Well, I've been asking for 100 people who would give me $1,000 over the next weeks, and I haven't got much from anybody. I got two, and I need 98 more, and all of this place will be paid for. Why don't you help me? Why don't you send 1,000? There is 1,000 people out there can send 1,000, not just 100, but I just need 100. If you'd help me, let me know. Now, we'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I am looking forward to preaching. I am looking forward to, I promise you, you'll hear the word of God in this place. And we got a man just got back to God, got out of prison. I'm not going to call his name. That'll be up to him. And he's back now out and will be in, and I am excited. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we all have been, you know, we've made mistakes. I know I have. I've never been backslid. But I've been close to it, and God would rake me over the coals, you know, and shake me till my eye teeth rattled, and I'd run and get back right and, you know, get myself on fire. I want to be on fire. That's all I want to be, is on fire, and I want you on fire. Now, the lines are open, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588, toll free, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. Where are those who always send me these good questions on the internet? They kind of make up the squeeze between the calls that I get, and I can, you know, pull them in, and it's always a fun thing to answer your questions and to tell you what the Bible says. I just believe the Bible. You know, that's all. I just believe the Bible. So the lines are open. The ladies are standing by. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Any questions out there? I will do everything in my power to answer them. It is my delight and my joy. Now, I don't know. I haven't had the camera scene on in front of me. And I don't know how many times this web has gone out. I know it never goes out any time but Saturday. I know when we do things on our computers during the week, we never have a problem, but on Saturday something is working against us. I actually believe it's somebody out there that's doing it. I don't know how. I've been told some different ways it can be done, but I know God is our helper, and they will be exposed, and it will be solved. I have no doubt about that. I really don't. Now, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready if Jesus would come right now? Oh, well, I think I am. You think you are. Man, if all I did was think I was, I'd be scared to death. I'd be scared to death. I know I'm ready. And if you don't know that you're ready, you know what you need to do when this program goes off. You need to go find you a prayer closet, and you need to stay there until God's Holy Spirit comes down in all of His splendor and shakes you until your whole being is transformed, until you know your sins are gone, until you're set apart from this crazy world. I don't want nothing to do with this world. I don't want nothing to do with this filth. And you'll be in that state when Jesus sanctifies you like you need to be sanctified, and you'll be a brand new creature, and your life will be splendor. A splendid life. I'm telling you, it'll be wonderful. So get on your knees. If you go to a church and the preacher will not preach the pre-trib rapture, will not preach the great truths of this Bible, you tell him, "I'm leaving, sir. I'm not staying here and paying my tithes to somebody who won't preach the truth. I'm not staying here and paying my tithes to somebody who won't preach the truth." You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Brother Chambers.
Yes.
I just heard you make a statement about Donald Trump.
Yes.
And I've been listening to you for years. And
you're going to quit because I'm going to vote for Donald Trump.
No. I didn't say I was going to quit. But I don't understand how you could vote for such an evil person.
I'm not going to vote for Hillary, okay? And I'm not going to vote for the communists, the socialists, Sanders. I've got to vote for somebody in the Republican side. I cannot vote for Ted Cruz because he is a wild religious post-millennialist, Dominion theology. His religion is worse than Donald Trump's sins.
As I read the Bible and as I hear...
And listen, did you hear what I said? The religion of Ted Cruz is worse than the sins of Donald Trump.
I can't.
I mean, if you knew all that I know, and I've tried to tell people, this charismatic stuff he's in is a fleshly religion. It is so full of flesh that it is absolutely horrible. And they believe they're going to set up the kingdom on this earth and create a one-world religion. And I don't want nothing to do with that. I think his religion is worse than Donald Trump's sins. And I've got to vote for one of the two of them. I don't have nobody else.
I just can't see it.
Would you pray about it?
Oh, I have.
Keep praying.
He is the most arrogant, hateful, insulting.
Well, you know, you're going by what the media says. Yes. You've probably never been in his presence in one of his meetings. I read a lot of good things the man does. I love you. Hey, I'm not going to let you say no more now. I want you to know I love you. Please keep listening because this program is going to go on and I'm going to preach the Bible and I'm not going to preach politics, okay?
Oh.
I love you.
I love you too, but I just don't understand it.
You've said it seven times now. I love you. I love you. I have no problem with that. I can understand what she's saying. I really do. I mean, I see some things that I cringe. I pray, please, God, save this man. His politics is just exactly what we need, but he needs to be saved. He needs to be born again. And so that's how I'm praying. And that's what I'm praying. You see, you can tell I understand. I know. I do know. But I'm going to say what's right to the best of my ability. And I love you. What a broadcast. I have loved every minute of this. I hope you have. Hey, are we off the air? I can't believe that. It's like it just goes and we're gone before we know it. And I hate it. God bless you. I love you. I love you.
I see I've made it through the night.